I'm going to talk about our recent study on SPEEDY. This is a joint work with Aruna Balasubramanian, Arvind Krishnamurthy, and David Weatherall from the University of Washington. HDP 1.1 has been around for a long time and is widely used by browsers to load web pages. As web pages became more complex, it was not as fast as desirable. And so, Google started developing SPEEDY around 2009 to make the web faster. SPEEDY has been deployed in browsers like Chrome and Firefox, and also websites like Google, Twitter, Facebook, so on and so forth. SPEEDY is important because it is the basis of HTTP 2.0, which is now under standardization and will be finished this year. Now, we want to know how much better SPEEDY is than HTTP. Before we answer this question, let me give an example to describe HTTP 1.1 and SPEEDY more deeply. This is a page we are looking for if we want to see pictures of kitties. Let me see how such a page is loaded. To load such a page, HTTP 1.1 is commonly used. It also has been identified several issues. For example, to load this page, HTTP 1.1 will open multiple TCP connections to fetch the embedded objects, even if the objects are hosted on the same server. So the concurrent TCP connections are likely to result in more congestion and are also hard to manage at the server. The second issue with HTTP is that it requires the client to explicitly request an object. The result is that even if the server has known that it should send one embedded object, it has to wait for another round trip for the client to make an explicit request. The third issue with HTTP 1.1 is that only HTTP payload is compressed, but not the headers. As headers are growing larger, header compression becomes more of an issue. Given the list of issues with HTTP 1.1, SPEEDY is proposed and aims to address them. Let's see what SPEEDY does. Instead of opening multiple TCP connections, SPEEDY just opens one connection. It sliced HTTP data into small frames and then multiplexes the frames into a single TCP connection. Also, SPEEDY allows to pipeline multiple TCP requests into just one packet. Within a single TCP connection, web objects can be prioritized. In SPEEDY, the server can initiate the object transfer so that it doesn't have to wait for the client to make an explicit request. And in SPEEDY, not only HTTP payloads can be compressed, but also HTTP headers. So given the list of features that SPEEDY provides, we really want to know how well SPEEDY performs. The brief answer here is unclear. If you look at Google's white paper, you'll see that SPEEDY helps 27% to 60% of page load time. But if you look at other studies from other parties, you'll find that SPEEDY sometimes helps and sometimes hurts. And in overall, SPEEDY helps less than 10%. The conflicting measurement result suggests that they may look at different web page workloads or different network characteristics. So our goal here is to conduct a systematic study of SPEEDY that extensively sweep the parameter space. And then we would like to link Speedy's performance to the underlying factors, and also identify the dominant factors for whether Speedy helps compared to HTTP. To achieve these goals, we identify three challenges. The first challenge is that we find there are many factors external to Speedy actually affect Speedy's performance. Our approach to address this is to isolate these factors and sweep the parameter space. In particular, we consider RTT bandwidth and packet loss rate. We also consider TCP initial congestion window and different web page effects. So we exhaustively sweep these parameters in all realistic ranges. The second challenge we found is that page load time has high variance. We extensively loaded the Twitter homepage for 1,000 times using both HTTP and Speedy. What we found is that the standard deviation of page load times is much larger than the difference of page load times between HTTP and Speedy. And this variability of page load times comes not only from the network, but also from computation, because of, for example, garbage collection events in JavaScript execution. Here, our approach is to control the source of variability. We control the source of variability from network by experimenting in a controlled network. We control the source of variability in computation by using our emulator instead of real browsers. The third challenge is that there are dependencies between network and browser computation that can significantly affect page loads. When we ignore browsers, we would expect objects to be loaded at the same time, but when we consider browsers, objects are throttle loading due to dependencies and computation. So it's clear that page load times with and without considering browser effects are very different. And therefore, in our approach, we should preserve dependencies. Here is the outline of the rest of the talk. Here, I will focus on how we understand Speedy's performance. We will start with synthetic web pages, because this lets us exhaustively uncover scenarios under which Speedy helps or hurts. And then, we will move on to more realistic, but also more complex scenarios. Now, let's start with how Speedy performs with synthetic objects. This is the experimental setup. We extensively sweep the parameter space, that is, these six factors under these ranges. Specifically, we create synthetic objects that lets us uncover corner scenarios. We ignore browser effect here and make HTTP requests to all the objects inside one page at the same time. We mirror page load time as the time between when we make the first HTTP request and when we receive the last object. After obtaining a high dimensional and dense data of page load times with both HTTP and Speedy, we link Speedy's performance to these factors. Here, we perform a decision tree analysis because it tells exactly when Speedy helps or hurts under what scenarios. This is the decision tree we obtain. In the next few slides, I will highlight the branches under which Speedy helps or hurts. The first branch shows that Speedy helps on small objects. By small, we mean less than one TCP segment. The reason is that Unlike in HTTP, a TCP segment in Speedy can carry multiple web objects. An example is that Speedy helps this page with 50 world flags. This is the page advertised by ModSpeedy, which is an Apache Speedy module. And ModSpeedy found that Speedy significantly helped this page without saying why. Here, we find that Speedy helps this page because it embeds many small web objects. Currently, many web pages batch up small icons into just one image, which is called CSS Sprite. By using Speedy, we don't have to use CSS Sprite anymore. The second branch shows that Speedy helps on large objects under low packet loss rate. The reason is that in HTTP, there are multiple connections that compete with each other. But in Speedy, there is just one connection, and therefore, less competitions. The result is that HTTP will produce more retransmissions than Speedy. This is why Speedy helps under these scenarios. The last branch shows that Speedy hurts on large objects under high packet loss rate. Let me show an example. Here, we have two objects to load. HTTP would open two connections, and Speedy would just open one connection. Let's see what will happen when there is a packet loss. When a packet is lost, in HTTP, only one of the connections would back off congestion window. But in Speedy, the whole connection would back off the congestion window. The result is that Speedy would back off congestion window more aggressively than HTTP. To demonstrate that the negative impact can be mitigated, we modify the Linux kernel to back off TCP congestion window less aggressively for Speedy. And we can find that this negative impact can be easily mitigated. Some other approaches, such as using error correction code, should also work here. So the last two branches we found together show that the most performance impact of Speedy comes from using a single TCP connection. Next, we are going to identify the dominant factors for how well Speedy performs compared to HTTP. We want to do this because there have been lots of explanations as to how Speedy can help or hurt, but we don't really know which of them are more effective. The way we identify the dominant factors is as the following. We identify factors as more important if they are closer to the root of the decision tree. We identify factors as less important if they are closer to the leaves of the decision tree. This is what we found. We find that object size, number of objects, and packet loss rate more important than RTT, bandwidth, and TCP initial window. Let me give you an example. This graph shows page load time of Speedy divided by that of HTTP as we increase the number of objects. Clearly, there is a descending trend. But if we do the same to TCP initial window, it doesn't show a trend. This is because TCP initial window is a less strong indicator of Speedy's performance. Now, let me give you an example about how this can be applied. We have a hypothesis that is, Speedy could help stragglers. Here is how we derive this hypothesis. Here, we have a small object and a large object to load. After the small object finishes loading, the TCP connection of the large object in HTTP has to rebalance its communication. But Speedy doesn't have to do this, so Speedy can potentially help. However, in our experiments, we find that Speedy helps little for stragglers. How can we explain this? Well, the reason is that this hypothesis only argues with TCP congestion window, which is a weak indicator of Speedy's performance. Okay, next, let's see how well Speedy performs with real objects. This is the experimental setup. We still sweep the parameter space. Instead of creating synthetic object, we download the objects from the top 200 web pages. This lets us evaluate Speedy under more realistic web page workloads. Here, we still make HTTP requests to objects inside a page. This is what we find. The x-axis is page load time of Speedy divided by that of HTTP. Less than one means Speedy helps, and vice versa. The y-axis shows the cumulative distribution function, and each data point means a web page. Here, we see that Speedy helps 60% in the median case. The main reason is that Speedy largely reduces retransmission compared to HTTP. Next, let's see how well Speedy performs with real web pages. By real web pages, I mean there are browser effects. Let me explain what I mean by browser effect. Browser effect is a result of dependencies and computation in real page load that result in throttled object loads. So our previous assumption that objects are fetched at the same time does not hold anymore. Let's see how we preserve browser effect. We preserve browser effect by using our self-developed emulator called EPload. EPload consists of a recorder and a replayer. In the recording process, it captures the dependency graph of a page using our previously developed tool called WProf. In the replaying process, it walks through the dependency graph. When it encounters a network activity, it makes a real network request. When it encounters a computation activity, instead of doing the real computation such as CSS evaluation and JavaScript execution, it waits for the same amount of time that computation takes. The nice property that EPload provides is reproducible experiments. So with EPload, instead of repeating experiments for thousands of times to reliably obtain how well Speedy performs, we can just repeat once or twice to obtain very reliable results. Here is the experimental setup in evaluating real pages. Instead of making HTTP requests, we emulate real page loads to the top 200 pages with EPload. This is the result. Still, the x-axis is the page load time of Speedy divided by that of HTTP, and less than 1 means Speedy helps. The y-axis is still the cumulative distribution function. This graph shows that Speedy helps only marginally. And one reason is that computation and dependencies increase page load time of both Speedy and HTTP. Another reason is that throttled object fetches result in fewer retransmissions in HTTP, so that Speedy helps less. By comparing this graph and the previous graph that ignores dependency and computation, we can see that dependencies and computations in real page loads reduce the impact of Speedy. We have also done other experiments. In particular, Speedy provides us interfaces to prioritize web objects or to do server push, but it doesn't have any standard on how to do it. So we designed and experimented with new Speedy server push policy, and we find that our new policy saves 10 to 30% of page load times, like mod Speedy, but we push 80% less data. We have also tested Speedy and HTTP over SSL. What we find is that using SSL, both Speedy and HTTP result in higher page load times, but will lead to the same conclusions we have for the no SSL scenarios. We have other experiments in the paper. If you are interested, go look find more in the paper. To sum up, we experimented with Speedy page loads over a large parameter space. We find that most performance impact of Speedy comes from its single TCP connection. We also find that browser computation and dependencies in real pages reduce the impact of Speedy. And to further improve Speedy or page load, we need to restructure the page load process, such as using server push. And this is our website. We have open sourced our tool EPLoad as well as our data. The good thing about EPLoad is that it isolates network and computation of page loads, which means that if you want to do network experiments in the context of browsers, but you don't want to mess with browsers, you should try EPLoad. And our website also lets you change parameters and see how well Speedy performs compared to HTTP. And if you are interested in analyzing Speedy's performance, you are more than welcome to download our data. And thank you for your time. I will be happy to take questions.
So, great talk.
Thank you.
Just a question, it may be obvious. Did you take into account the effect of caching either on the client or in the network? Did you somehow try to eliminate that as a possible side effect?
That's a good question. So for the case of caching, it's very similar to the case when the number of objects are very small. So in that case, particularly if the object is very large, actually Speedy helps less. But we don't consider the caching case in the network. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it should be very similar to the case when there are very few objects. All right.
But that could affect the results.
Yeah. So because we created synthetic objects, we won't cover all the cases. So which means that if we... So the caching case is very similar to the case when there are very few objects.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
In your controlled environment, would you looking at how the number of other flows, other TCP flows flowing through the network impacted it? Particularly, I'm thinking if one person is using six HTTP flows versus one Speedy flow, or both people are using Speedy, how those interactions play out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So we consider the case. So a little background is that Speedy is primarily designed for the case when there is just one connection. But there is some cases like domain sharding, or your page may contain web objects from other services like ads or analytics. So what we did is we consider the case when we use different TCP connections for objects from different domains. And we see that if we only consider the case of using different TCP connections for different top-level domain, the results are very similar. But if we open too many TCP connections in Speedy, it will go like HTTP because of the multiple TCP connections. But we don't experiment for the case when there are combined HTTP connections and Speedy connections.
Howdy, James Mickens, Microsoft Research. So allow me to propose three things. So first of all browsers are terrible.
All
browsers are terrible in different ways. And third, they're actually all differently terrible, not just along the computation axis, but also along like how they write the DOM storage, what network stack to use, and stuff like that. And so my question is, how do you know that the emulator that you used will actually generalize across different browsers? For example, I would imagine that Speedy actually provides different benefits to Firefox versus IE versus Chrome on a bunch of different pages. What do you think about
that? So that's a very good question. So it depends on like, so to explain that, let's go back to how we develop our emulator. So our emulator based on a tool we developed, which was presented in last year's NSDI, which is WProf. So we capture the browser dependencies there and in a browser independent way, which means that we run the test cases under different browsers. So we ensure that the basic dependencies we capture here are across browsers. But the thing we cannot capture here is the computation time, which means that if Chrome is faster in evaluating JavaScript, but Firefox is slower, we cannot capture that directly. But what we can do is we can make the computational time we capture larger, which means that we can say, for example, if we run it on a slower browser or run it on a mobile phone, we can say, what if we make the computation twice slower like that? So we can do something hypothetically in that case.
Yeah, so we should definitely talk offline because I think, for example, it's very difficult to generalize across, like, let's say, a desktop browser versus a mobile browser. And I think that sort of even very small timings in one particular thing will actually have cascading effects on the timings of other things. So let's take it offline, but thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
I can imagine that there's two reasons why Google would push Speedy. So one is what you're talking about, that they have web browsers. They want that web browser to load pages as quick as possible. But they also run a lot of web servers. So have you thought about how Speedy versus HTTP affects the load on the servers and what's the significance there?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question. So Google have started like deploying Speedy to make the web faster. But I think the result here for servers to use that is because it just opened one connection on the server. It can significantly lower the cost to management on the server. So that's a big incentive for the websites to use Speedy. But probably sometimes less, like it's more important than like make the web faster, probably.
Hey, my question is like similar to one of the previous question. I was wondering, like you mentioned that HTTP opens multiple TCP connections. Have you considered those scenarios where Speedy is competing with HTTP for bandwidth?
Yeah, so we only like consider the case when we open multiple Speedy connections, because it's the real case when there are third-party apps embedded in a web page. But we didn't consider the case when we open Speedy connections.
But it might
HTTP
also
connections.
Possible that one of the website, I have two websites open in my browser, and one is using Speedy, another is using HTTP.
Both to Google?
Two different websites. One is using Speedy, and another is using HTTP.
Yeah, so currently, I think I think so because of the issue of a single TCP connection. Sometimes using Speedy cannot compete with the case when there are multiple connections, sometimes. So I think Google really wants to solve this. They have proposed something like to have some personalized TCP initial congestion window so that they can ramp up very quickly than normal HTTP, or they can decide if they use Speedy, they can set the congestion window, like make it behave very similar to what multiple HTTP do. But the issue with that is they have to change in the Linux kernel, in which case they need to have the approval from the Linux kernel community. So and the Linux kernel community doesn't approve of their proposal. So they propose Qwik, which is basically a user level TCP stack, and they can do much more in there, and they have more flexibility.
Thank you.
All right, let's thank the speaker.